Workers entered one of the damaged reactor buildings at Japan's Fukushima nuclear power station today for the first time since that plant was rocked by an explosion following the March 11th earthquake and tsunami. The plant's operator, Tokyo Electric Power Company, said workers connected ventilation and air filtration equipment in Reactor Unit 1 to reduce radiation levels inside the building. That's expected to take about 4 or 5 days, and it's all part of a plan to bring the plant to a cold shutdown within 6 to 9 months. Meanwhile, work is still underway to replace electricity lost when Fukushima and other energy suppliers were disabled by the earthquake and tsunami. But if officials are looking at developing some renewable energy sources or natural gas to fill the gap, they might heed a word of caution, and that word is earthquakes, maybe even tsunamis. Now, seismic shocks associated with the development of energy projects are usually small, but they could become dangerous if they put additional strain on large geological faults. And worldwide, that's raising a lot of questions about new projects and risks involved. Peter Fairley is energy editor for IEEE Spectrum magazine. He's been looking into this. And Peter, just confirm what I just said. Earthquakes can be set off by human activity?
That is correct. They call it induced seismicity.
Ah.
And for sure, most earthquakes that happen are natural occurrence from tectonic strains, but we do have a long, well-established history of setting off earthquakes. The classic case is actually a hydro dam, where you are putting a lot of weight on an area where there wasn't weight, and that sets off usually small earthquakes. But if you have placed that reservoir on top of a major fault, it is possible to set off something big, and it has happened before.
Well, and you might be referring to the one you write about, the 1967 incident at India's Koyna Dam. What happened there?
They had built a large dam right on top of a fault. It was in an area that really had no history of major seismicity, and it set off a 6.3 magnitude earthquake that killed almost 200 people. This is a big earthquake. It was felt 230 kilometers away in Bombay.
Well, and it's pretty much agreed that it was because of the building of the dam. But we understand there's a debate among geologists over whether China's Zhangpingpu Dam, built in 2004, caused their huge 7.9 earthquake in Sichuan province in 2007.
That's correct. I think it's well established that the reservoir that was built there and impounded in 2005 did add strain and made it more likely that there would be an earthquake. Sometimes strain has to build up for tens or hundreds or thousands of years before a major earthquake is unleashed, and this probably brought it forward by, say, tens or perhaps even hundreds of years.
Yeah, killing 70,000 people. Well, let's take a look at geothermal power. This is tapping into the energy that's generated by the Earth's core and stored in the Earth. You tap into it and bring it up in the form of steam-powered plants. What's the debate over this?
There have been well-established cases, for example, in California's geysers region, where there is quite a bit of geothermal power. That region never knew seismicity above about magnitude 3. Now magnitude 4 quakes are quite common. It has irritated the local residents quite a bit. It hasn't hurt anybody, but it is definitely upsetting to people there.
Well, but in Switzerland, a geothermal project triggered a 3.4 level quake in 2006. And for that reason, officials abandoned that project. You say other projects are being abandoned as well.
That's right. There is a movement to expand geothermal energy production dramatically by creating opportunities to push water through hot rocks and bring up that energy. So instead of relying on places like the geysers where you happen to have a natural reservoir of hot water underground, engineers are actually deliberately fracturing rocks that are hot so that they can flow water through them.
This is that fracking process that we know is used also to push up natural gas. They're using this to get geothermal energy?
It's related, that's
yeah.
Right. And you mentioned the case in Basel, Switzerland. In the, I believe it was the 14th century, that city was destroyed by a major earthquake, and essentially they started trying to create a geothermal system right in the heart of the city and started setting off small quakes. I think the biggest one was a 3.4. It did a little bit of damage, but the real damage was psychological. It reminded people history of major earthquakes there, and they decided, you know what, it doesn't make sense for us to be tickling our faults. In the U.S., in the geysers region, for example, there was an effort to create what they call an engineered geothermal system. And yet again, the people there were already upset and irritated with geothermal power. They were not interested in entertaining, you know, new production that was actually deliberately, you know, setting off seismicity by fracturing the rock.
Right. Well, we mentioned the process of fracking, and in the case of natural gas, it's injecting high-pressured fluids into rock to push up the gas. We've seen how that practice can contaminate water supplies in the documentary Gasland. But can fracking for natural gas, has it also caused earthquakes?
Yes, and it's not the fracking itself, but it's actually the wastewater that comes out of that process, which gas exploring companies are then trying to drive down into the ground. They're doing that at very high pressure. There's been this case of quakes in Arkansas, which essentially led to the shutting down of the fracking activities in that area.
Yeah, causing the pressure. By the way, Susan Fry, who lives in Guy, Arkansas, where shocks from a February 4.7 magnitude quake were felt as far away as Memphis, has set up a YouTube video. She's got her plumb line that she set up in her house to track ground movement, and she has the results on YouTube. It's not scientific, but it's fun to watch, and it just is another, you know, it's a reminder that even when the threat of earthquakes is small, you know, we're looking at Japan, you know, is there a sense that in more cases it shouldn't be done at all because of the threat of earthquakes?
Well, there's a little bit of both. When we produce energy, there are always downsides, there are always side effects. So part of it is being open and transparent about what the risks are, what the impacts are. And then I think there is also a need for further caution and for choosing our targets more carefully. We don't want to build hydropower dams over major faults, and we don't want to put geothermal systems in the middle of cities that have a history of devastating earthquakes.
Peter Fairley, his article on earthquakes and energy production appears in the April edition of IEEE Spectrum, the magazine for technology insiders. He also writes the blog Carbon Nation. For a link to that and that woman's plumb line in Guy, Arkansas, go to herenow.org. Peter, thanks.
It's been a pleasure.
And while there, don't forget, we'd always love to hear your thoughts on this or anything on the program. Again, herenow.org, you can click on Contact Us to send an email or place a phone call. You can also scroll down, leave a comment right there. Follow us on Twitter at Here and Now, Facebook.com/HereAndNowRadio. Love to hear from you. This is Here and Now.